Father, it is a glorious time to celebrate this most wonderful gift that you've given us. But Father, I recognize on a night like tonight, we're coming from so many different places. Father, for some, it's a season of joy, and people are looking for more, a lasting joy. Would you come through your Holy Spirit and bring that to them tonight? Father, some are looking for a glimpse of light because Christmas brings up painful and difficult memories. Come be their hope. Father, many have heard this story over and over and are looking to see it afresh. God, bring your light afresh to us tonight. Father, some are wondering if this could ever be so true, because a story like this can be so far-fetched, even like a myth. Father, bring your truth that pierces our hearts to see your glorious light. Father, thank you. We pray that you would break through the darkness, that we would see clearly tonight and be changed forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. One of the traditions that we do as Anglicans is on the four Sundays leading up to Christmas is we recognize this Advent wreath. We light these candles each week, four candles representing, you'll see the banners on the side over there, peace and hope, joy and love. And as we light the candles, what it does, it's a picture of God's light of hope coming into this world, a picture of God's light of peace, his light of joy, and his light of love. What you see throughout the scriptures, throughout the Old Testament as well as in the New, is the imagery of light is magnificent. It's spread throughout the scriptures. Let me read a couple of them for you. You've heard one of them already from Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. Light brings hope, doesn't it? It breaks through the darkness that we experience. But then you fast forward to the New Testament, and what you read at the beginning of John's Gospel are these words: the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. You see, what I want you to hear tonight, and I pray that you hear this afresh, Christmas is not about a little baby being born in a manger that we ooh and ah over. Can I tell you what the Christmas story is all about? It's all about the light of God coming into the darkness of this world, coming into the darkness of our lives to bring us life. That's what it's all about. That Jesus, the Son of God, is the light of the world. That God, through his grace, brought light into the darkness. Now look, I don't have to convince you just how dark this world really is, do I? I mean, all we have to do is look around and see what we experience every day. Social injustice, racism, violence, greed, self-righteousness, everybody doing what's right in his own eyes. That's just to name a few, you know. Things of the darkness that we see all the time. But you know, we've also witnessed the darkness of an election season, haven't we? I don't care what side you were on. Why I call it darkness is because you had two opposing sides and they couldn't come together. There was no peace. And God longs that we have peace. And so we witnessed a lot of darkness. Think about the darkness going on in the other parts of the world. The Syrian refugees, terrorist attacks. I mean, I don't have to keep going, but you're getting a picture. The darkness isn't just what we see here in Little Rock. It's what we see all over the world. But you see, then there's the darkness of what you and I actually face every day, right? The darkness of an illness, the darkness of the death of a loved one, the darkness of relational difficulties, and then the darkness of our own sin. It's easy, isn't it, to become overwhelmed by the darkness, right? Now, maybe some of you are thinking, wait a minute, we came in on Christmas Eve for this great celebration, and you're talking about darkness. Well, friends, we have to understand the depth of the darkness if we're going to see the glory of the light. And that's what Jesus came to bring, the glory of the light that shines in the midst of our darkness. You see, God's solution for the darkness, not only of this world, but of your life and mine, is His Son, the light of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas is all about. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is speak to each of the four candles, and then at the end, the center candle, which is the Christ candle. The words that you see on the sides, on the banners, hope, peace, joy, and love. This is what Jesus, the Son of God, came to bring, is it not? But I don't know about for you, but for me, often those words just become like a cliche, don't they? They become like the block that you have in your house, probably. I looked in mine and I saw two of them. I saw joy and peace in two different rooms. Those, you know, those wooden blocks that'll have the words written and probably decorated with flowers or something. They can so often become a cliche, but what we have to understand is this. These words are grounded in the incarnation of the Son of God. That's the beauty of their words. There's rich, magnificent beauty and strength in them. So I want to look at the first one. You can look at the banner over there. It's the candle of hope. Whether you realize it or not, we're all people who hope, aren't we? Every day we hope for things. It's kind of like the little girl who's going to return to school after Christmas break, and she's going to be hoping that her friends are still going to be nice to her, right? Or the young mom who hopes that she's a good mother and that her kids are going to turn out okay. Maybe you're one of them. Or the college student who hopes that they're going to have that job come graduation, the hope. Or maybe a father hoping that he won't be caught as his company downsizes. But I would probably say most all of us in this room have this hope. We're hoping that next year is going to be better than this past, right? That's probably something that all of us can say, that's where I am. And you know, the way that we so often speak about hope is that it's an uncertainty, right? Like this, I hope that's going to work out, you know, I hope it'll work out, or I hope so, right? And we don't really recognize what we're basing our hope in. Let me tell you this. Hope is not in an idea. Hope is not in a thing. Hope is not in a place. You see, hope is in a person, and His name is Jesus. You see, our hope is not an uncertain hope. It's a hope that is certain, so certain that it's based on the foundation of our Savior coming into this world, rescuing us out of the darkness. You see, our hope is grounded in the reality that God came among us. There's no greater hope than you and I can have because He knows the darkness that you experience. He knows the pain in your world right now, and He came to do something about it. Friends, that's a certain hope, and I'll tell you that's a hope that will never disappoint us because Christ never will. The second banner over there is the banner of peace. I think just as much as we're people who hope every day, we're also people who long for peace every day, don't we? I mean, we long for peace in our families, especially over the holidays, right? When family comes in town, you hope, oh God, please let there be peace. I've been there. I know what it's like. Or peace where there's been a fractured relationship. You long for that kind of peace. Peace from the hectic lives that so many of us live. Peace in a world thrown into chaos, right? We're a people who long for peace every day. Well, I want you to enter into this scene that was read a few minutes ago in the gospel, with the Gospel of Luke. It's the scene where the shepherds are out in the field one night, and the light is only the light of the stars up in the sky, and they're just tending their business. And all of a sudden, an angel appears out of nowhere. And the angel says this, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Now, he could have just stopped there and they would never forget that. But what happens next? The heavens explode open with the heavenly hosts singing in this with this incredible multitude of the angelic host, and they sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." They shout, they sing, peace. It's the announcement of peace. Why? It's almost as if the heavenly host could not even contain themselves. You know why? Because the Prince of Peace had just been born. The Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who would come to make peace between us and God. Friends, that's radical, that God would come and bring His Son to make peace. We read in Romans chapter 5 the words of the Apostle Paul when he wrote, "Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." You see, that's why Jesus came. Because the ultimate peace that we need, that we long for, and for some of you, whether you realize it or not, it's peace with God. And here's how He brought peace. Jesus, through His death on the cross, bearing your sins and mine, went to battle with the enemy. And He gave His life so that we could have life. And as Jesus, this baby who was born, and as He grew and He lived this perfect life, as He gave His life as a sacrifice for you and me, He brought peace. There's no more hostility between us and God when we know the Savior, Jesus Christ. And the beauty of what Paul wrote here is we do nothing to earn that peace. That's the beauty of the gospel. We didn't earn the peace. It's a gift. It means there's no hostility between us and God. I want you to picture this. Outside of Christ, there was a time in our lives when there was a great war between us and God. And it was a battle between who was going to be king, right? You see, our tendency, our natural tendency is we want to be king. You know, as Mel Brooks said in his famous work, The History of the World, it's good to be the king, right? And that's how most of us live our lives. We want to be the king of our own kingdom of one. We want to call the shots. We want to rule our life. Well, guess what? God does too. God wants to be the king of our lives. He wants to rule this world. Now, you know what happens when two people try to be king? There's a war, and one person's going to win. The beauty, friends, of the gospel, why we celebrate this morning the incarnation of Christ, is God longing for you and me to be reconciled to Him brought His Son. And He became the sacrificial lamb that would bring peace to God forever. You see, when we receive Jesus as Lord and King, what we find is that God is not angry with us anymore. I want to say that again. Because I think there are a lot of people who follow Jesus today and they live their lives like God is angry with them. I want you to hear this. Because peace has come, God is not angry with us. Friends, that's the best news in the world. Amen? Amen. Amen. It's true. I want you to think about this. What difference would it make in your life if you really believed, at your core that God was not angry with you? You know how I think we live? We live with joy. The third candle, the banner right over there. We would be an incredible people of joy knowing that God was not angry with us. And I love what the angel says. The angel, I'm going to read it again because it's so magnificent. The angel said to the shepherds, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord." Let me ask you, would you say that your life is characterized by joy? Would people around you say that your life is characterized by joy? You see, I think more often than not, we allow our circumstances to dictate the degree to which we experience joy. Right? Our situations in life, that's what dictates our joy. Well, the great joy that the angels spoke about here, it's a difference. It's not a circumstantial joy. It's a very different kind of joy. It's a joy that comes from knowing what Christ came to do. Let me paint the picture for you. In John's gospel, Jesus is talking to His disciples. In John chapter 15, and he's painting a picture of a vine and its branches. And Jesus says to his disciples, I am the vine and you are the branches. What's he saying there? That as we follow him, we become one with him. We become united with him. As a vine has its branches and they're all together. You see that? We become one. We become united with Christ. And John, and later on in John chapter 15, Jesus says these words, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Because we're united with Christ. Listen to what he said. That my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. What is his joy? Do you know what his joy is? It's the love of the Father. It's the love of his Heavenly Father. This incredible love that Jesus, the Son of God, knew at the core of his being that his Father loved him. And because of that, his life was characterized by a life of joy. Yes, it was a life of hardship. Yes, it was a life of pain. Yes, it was a life of suffering. Yes, he went to the cross, but it was for his joy. Because the Father loved him. Think about a relationship that you have. Maybe some of you have them. When you know that you are loved so deeply, you know what that brings in your heart? A joy. When you know that you are loved so deeply and an inexpressible joy. Friends, that's what we have in Christ. We have his joy, the joy of a Father who loves us more than we could ever imagine. Or as John Piper once said, if we could actually share in the joy of God Almighty, nothing could be greater and nothing would be more stable and lasting than knowing the joy of our Father. And all of this sums up with the fourth candle, love. It's the love of a Father who brought his Son into this world, who would live a life of love for you and me by sacrificing his life on the cross. Friends, don't miss it this Christmas. Don't miss it in this new year ahead. The love of a Father that would do this for you and for me. I'm going to read a passage that most of you all have heard probably hundreds of times. Don't let it grow stale. Don't let it grow old. Let the words come afresh to you tonight. It's from John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, if you don't know this love, I pray that you would come to receive this love tonight. Receive this love afresh tonight. God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. He came that we would know love and find life eternal through his grace. And tonight we light the Christ candle, the one in the center, the brightest light of all. You see, it's because in Jesus that we find peace. It's in Jesus that we find hope. It's in Jesus that we find joy, and it's in Jesus that we find love. Let me end with the words that we find here in verse 19 of Luke chapter 2. The angels, after they saw that magnificent scene in the wilderness, in the fields, they went to find the Savior, Jesus. And when they came upon him, they were in awe. But listen to Mary's response. We read, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. What I want to leave you with tonight is this. Ponder peace, hope, joy, and love. Don't leave here tonight and just set them aside. Step back, ponder the majesty of our God coming among us to bring hope and peace and joy and love. And what you will find, not just tomorrow as we celebrate Christmas morning, but in your life ahead, it will begin to be filled with more of the presence of our Savior. His light came to break through the darkness. And when we receive that light, we find that we are set free. Come receive the light afresh tonight. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.